Okay, it's recording.
We're on?
Yeah.
Okay, if there's any problem in the middle, just stop waving or something, alright?
Okay.
So we speak a little bit about this religion, Yerub Yoma. Not so much halacha, more through a little bit of Shabbat, a little bit of Shkaf, a little bit of different shifts in the Torah, about the Shabbat, a little bit about relationship with Shira, see what you do in terms of, there's a little bit of different shifts on a cold, snowy day. Right? You guys can hear okay?
Yeah. It's a little hard to hear. Could Rebbe be a little bit louder?
What should I do to make it?
We don't have enough speakers?
What?
I think we're okay.
We're okay now?
Yeah.
Okay, just let me know if there's any problem, just stop waving, okay?
Okay.
Alright. The Gemara has a very strange drasha on a pasuk in the years in Parshas Mishalach, Az Yoshe Moshe. Of course, we know what the pasuk at the bottom of this pasuk is, Az Yoshe Moshe means Moshe starts to sing as the event of. As the event of Kriyas Yamsuf happens, the Moshe begins to sing. The Chazal have an additional level of interpretation, Az Yoshe Moshe, that the throwback to the end of Parshas Shmot, the Moshe says, "May Oz Basi the power of Ladaber Shmech Teirah Lamadeh." Moshe is taken to task by Kodesh Baruch, and that's like the chait, that Moshe is complaining to the Rebbe Shalom, that he's not taking quite a lot of a triumph fast enough, he's suffering. And the suffering, because he went to go plead for Klai Yisrael, so the suffering even more. Me'az bas the paro. The Chazal say that Moshe chot the ma'az v'tikin ma'az, that his kolte by saying the word me'az bas the paro, then he corrects it by singing Az Yoshe Moshe. Other Chazal saw on this pasuk a tikkun, some kind of a rectification for the original chait that Moshe Rabbeinu had done. Then Chazal Maseches Sanhedrin have a third level of interpretation of this pasuk of Az Yoshe Moshe. And Oz is a Lashon Asid, refers to the future. Mikan remembers the Tchiyas HaMeikim in our Torah. This is one of the many Ramad, and that's the hint of the institution of Tchiyas HaMeikim. The fact that we believe Tchiyas HaMeikim is part of our Mitzvah, that was part of our Kabbalish, Rebbeish HaMeisha HaMeikim. We have a Mitzvah on many different parts of the Torah. We have a Mitzvah on Halacha. We have a Mitzvah on how to derive Halacha. We have the newer writings in the beginning of the Kabbalah, that the reason why Rebbeinu Nasi begins the Mishnah of Moshe Tzvotar Messina. Why did he pick that with the Kiyabos to give us that introduction? That should have existed in the beginning of Tzvotar Brachos. So Rabbi Tanur explains that that the halachic part of Torah is Messina, that's what the Mephosha, where else did it come from? The Chiddush is that even the Midas case, even the Ashkaf, even the Kavutar, is also considered to be part of the Messiah, that Tzvotar Brachos explained to Moshe Rabbeinu how would you supposed to think it out, and to act that picture, and there's the Torah on Ashkafas and Amunah as well. So the Kari Amunah that we have, the Amunah is the Mashiach, the Mashiach, the Mashiach, all these different parts of Amunah, this is all part of the Mashiach with Amazina. Our says that the Ramazim in the Torah Shemichtah, this is we find that in the world of Halacha, so we have certain things that are Ishbe Pisha and Mashiach, but they were nevertheless hinted to in the Torah Shemichtah. The Lamashal creates other, how do you know that a creates other is an answering? As well, so too in the realm of Hashkafa, we have things that are, we have a Torah on back to Moshe Rabbeinu, but they're alluded to the Torah Shemitah. One of the allusions, one of the hints of the Torah Shemitah, the notion of the system, is the pasuk Az Yoshe Moshe that's written by Lashon Asid. So it's a very difficult Yerusha. I mean, what a strange place for the Rabban Shalom to put the institution of Tzitz and Nathan, Shiras and Yom, Az Yoshe Moshe. What place in the Torah, there are a couple of other Muslims, what place in the Torah that Kodesh Baruch Hu taught us about Tchiyas HaMeitim? So it's a very strange place for Kodesh Baruch Hu to teach us. So I thought we would just use a little bit of a springboard to understand just a little bit of a nuance of Kari Amun, the 13th of the Ani Mam in the realm of Tchiyas HaMeitim, what a major component this is and how this plays out in terms of Parshas Mishalach and how this relates to each as well. Mar says in Maseches Sanhedrin that there is a connection between the idea of Tzitzimeitim and the notion of planting. Mar says that if you think about it, it's almost an identical process. That you take a seed, itself is nothing. You take a seed, throw it into the dirt, and you cover it up according to any anyone who's looking at this, anyone who doesn't understand anything about the nature, about the farm, would think that nothing's going to come with the seed. The little seed grew into a big clump of dirt, covered it all. Should come out of it. And you're never going to see anything out of it. And all of a sudden, it's own. A plant starts to grow, a tree starts to grow, fruit starts to blossom. It's an unbelievable nature to have, unbelievable nature that monkey created, that you put something into the ground, and on the ground has the ability to bring something back to life, to give life to something. The Gemara says that's just amazing, that you take a body, put it into the ground, nothing should happen to it. It should be decomposed, get destroyed, it should be, and yes, so composed, all of a sudden comes back to life, because Rav makes the name of Chizamesim, which Rav built Chizamesim into the island, that the ground has that ability to bring something which is otherwise doesn't have any source of life, all of a sudden comes back to life. So we have to take that partial planting, Chizamesim, and understand it a little bit better. When it comes to planting, the second Shemar, the Tanya tells us that a person plants a tree, that's a tremendous sense of amuda, because even different than planting crops. You plant a crop, you plant a wheat, so you know in 6 months you're gonna, wheat's gonna grow. You plant carrots, you know in a couple of weeks the carrots are gonna be harvested. When you plant a tree, it's gonna take a bunch of the fruit to grow. There's a dinner with arla, even if something does grow, you're not gonna be able to use it for 3, 4, 5 years. But lefida chadeva very often doesn't grow anywhere for a long time. Ourselves about certain trees that take 70 years. So they thought that it's fruit. We can learn the same story about how somebody was planting, an old man was planting a tree, and somebody came to him and said, "Well, Tilly, what are you doing? You're never going to see this fruit." So the person said, "You're right, I'm not going to see this fruit. My children will see this fruit. My grandchildren will see this fruit." The same way that my grandfather planted for me, I'm going to plant for the next generation as well. And the notion of planting builds a tremendous degree of amuna. But it's amuna, specifically amuna for the future. It's amuna not to get so caught up and look in the world just as a snip of time that you're living in, but to understand it in the future, that it's something that's down the line. That's the essence of the amuna planting. That fantastic is drawing, amuna. That a farmer is a tremendous mamin, because he understands that you have to do things now and you're not going to reap the benefits for a long time to come. What Moshe Rabbeinu mistake, Moshe Rabbeinu was being claimed in the tshuva for, is when he first comes to Paro and he expects almost there should be like instant results. Say like today's world, instant gratification. He comes to Paro, he thinks he's going to say to Paro, Shalach and Nephi, and say, "Great, over the time." So not only does that not happen, the exact opposite happens. He gets thrown back, and Jews get the stuff from war, and they have to now collect straw to build their pyramids. Things are much, much worse. Moshe, in that moment of desperation, comes to Moshe with the other boss of the Paro that came to Paro, and things didn't get better. But like, it was going to happen. What was Hashem Baruch Hu telling Moshe? Hashem Baruch Hu gave me Hashem Zayir. That's the Moshe. He says, whatever I told you is going to happen, it's just going to take a little bit of time, a little bit of patience. Exactly what the lesson that Moshe Rabbeinu had to learn, that doesn't Yeshua Hashem is terrifying, but it's not always terrifying to you that it's going to be. It's going to come, when it comes, it's going to come, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a much greater scope of history than we have, and sometimes things are going to take a little bit longer for it to happen. And that was the chisaron that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. So now, and it came out of the Yashir, and finally, when the Tram really did happen, and Nitro Chris Yachim happened, and the Kuhum of Yeshua was created, and Moshe didn't even envision a year earlier when Hashem first talked about him. All of a sudden, he realized now it's time to be fighting for the truth on what I missed. I had this understanding that I have to see cause and effect has to be right away, the result has to come right away. No, now he understands that the result does happen, albeit it takes longer, but it comes. Wrong with the way. So that's the Moshe says the word Oz. Oz is the Lashon Oz. Oz means that even though I'm now, Oz is almost like Rashi says, almost like a termination word. Oz means I'm here, I'm responding to Kriyat Yamsuf right now, but I'm responding with a look to the future. Oz Yashir Moshe, you can remember the Kriyat Yamsuf, that's that I'm singing this song now, the song is really a Shema Oz. And I realize that Kriyat Yamsuf is the ultimate declaration of Amuna. It's the ultimate, like the poem, the ultimate declaration of planting, put a body to the ground, and according to the way the world looks now, there's no hope anymore. It's over, dead, it's history. And Kamash Pallah, that's the Chiddush of Yitzhak the tribe. That's the Chiddush of Chiddush of Nathan. The Chiddush is that there's going to be a future. When it can come? Same with Moshe, didn't know exactly when it's going to come. Same with the farm, we don't know exactly when the fruit's going to start to grow. But that's the Chiddush of Adesh and Moshe, that person looks with the movement of the future. So the question is, what gives a person this Chiddush? What gives the person this ability to be able to appreciate this message of Chiddush and Nathan? We live in a world where everything is such instant gratification, it's hard for us to sometimes take a step back. And this actually is the best side of it, just reading part of the biography or death work. So fascinating, I told my wife about this morning, the fascinating insight, a little bit safe for me, quote that in the Kelm, that's what we learned in Kelm, famous yeshiva in Kelm, book yeshiva, when Kelm, when the boys would get a letter in the mail, every 6 months, a parent would write a letter or something, a postcard, an aerogram, and the ancient equivalent of aerograms would arrive to Kelm. So the practice of Kelm was that the Bachur would not read the letter until the following day. They would take the letter, put it away, wait 24 hours, and they would read the letter. Why? Because they were trying to teach them to be the patient, try to hear, Bachur had heard it with parents in one, try to teach them that not everything you get has to be enjoyed right away. Put something aside a little bit later, and also a very important item. So I commented to my wife today, imagine we would tell people that. So the modern day food that would be is that when you get an email, don't read it for 1 second, hold off for 2 seconds. I'm not sure if people could even do that. Just that notion that everything has to come to us right away, you can't wait for anything, that's a very, very important need that some of them lost in our generation. With Kedai, even with all the Nisiona, the modern day communication, Kedai to refocus on that perhaps. Anyway, component, what gives a person this ability to be able to sense that not everything has happened right away? So I think that the answer is another statement that Chazal speak about when they speak about in Yom Kippur, things of the future. So the Gemara has a very strange comment. The Gemara says that the Mai Zochi, Nashi Zochi, the one chus the women have come to Olam Habon, what chus the women are going to come to the next world. Already, the Farsh were very, very bothered with Akash and Zachin. The difference in Shmir and Mitzvah between men and women is minuscule. You know, in the hand, on the fingers of one hand, we have a difference than a Pshulim with a Pshulim, and a Sith, a Shulch, a Sukkah. Those are not going to make or break you out of my book. Women have a lot of Mitzvahs, from Shabbat, Akash, Shabbat, 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 so many million Chetzah that they do. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch. What does it mean with the question, Mighty Nashim Zachim? One thing about the answer is that, of course, the women is twofold. That they wait up for their husband to come back from the Beis Medrash, and that they bring their kids to Yeshiva. They drive carpool. I remember really what told me. Mark said that driving carpool is a school bus for Olam Haba. The Gemara was talking about women, but it's a lot of doctor women. Same is true for men also. So they need someday some of kids drive carpool to good thing. What does the Gemara mean? What kash? What's the terror? The Gemara asks, why do women zeichet to Olam Haba because it's amazing, and somehow the men got it easy, and then the Gemara answers, does the women get it? This as well. The Gemara should explain that the Gemara is not asking what mitzvahs women do. Men do mitzvahs, women do a lot of mitzvahs. The Gemara is speaking on one nekuda. The nekuda is that there's only one thing that ultimately connects the person to Olam Haba, the mitzvah, and that's the ticket of women at the Torah. That's the Gemara speaking on. I went to the women of Tours from Talmud Torah. So what is it? What shot connection does the women have that's going to give them a share in Olam Haba? That's what the Gemara says, that a person can connect the Torah not just to their own limud, but to connect the Torah to the husband's limud. The wife supports the husband, and the wife helps the husband, not financial. The wife, emotional support, logical support. She encourages the husband to learn, or she encourages the children to learn. She drives them to the yeshiva. She makes sure that they're learning. She helps them with their learning. So the Gemara says that's going to be hard to get to Olam Haba. You see both the Kasha and the Gemara from the Tarek and the Gemara that the ultimate ticket to Olam HaEmes is Dafka through the vehicle of Talmud Torah. So the question is why is that? What is it about Talmud Torah that is the ticket to Olam Haba? Some of the other mitzvahs help out a little bit, but the golden ticket, the real key, the doctor can be asked to come to Torah, and the other way we have to figure out a way the women have a tangible connection to Lubim Yetzirah, they're able to come as well. Rashi explained that the idea is based on that if you think about it, so our perspective, Taka really is not Masdim Talam Abba, because we're physical beings, human beings, and as the Rambam describes in the Chuvah, that the very notion of Olam Abba, something which is so ruchni, so far removed from our understanding, that's exactly why the Torah doesn't even spell it out. The Torah is to an intellect, to a Torah, to an Aruch, but these types of things are not spoken about the Arichos in the Torah. And the Rambam writes that even in the Vua, the demons didn't really have a clear view about these kinds of things. I am a Rata or a King of Rotella. Gemara says that all the Nevuahs speak about all the great, wonderful things that are going to come out of Babo. So, but those are things that relate to the Mosul Mashiach. Mosul Mashiach, at least we can talk about, at least we can relate to. Rabbi writes, again, it was Malachim. We don't know exactly how things are going to play out in the Mosul Mashiach. But we have a basic picture what's going to happen. We know there's going to be a big debate. The big session is the Mosul Mashiach. They solve it in the Mosul Mashiach. Going to come back to normal, back to the original. Then you have a machlekes and amen derayv, it's not a detail, the amount of Mashiach is going to be physical changes of nature or not. So the Rambam says there's not going to be any radical changes in the natural world, and the Rambam says, no, there are going to be certain changes even within nature. But the Rambam understood, it's something in the Navi to speak about the Garze and Kevin, the lion and the lamb, we're going to play down together. The Rambam says, therefore, there's Moshe, there's not going to be more wars. And the Ravid understood that the Mitzvah is going to change in the Teva and in the animal kingdom. But again, those are almost details of the Mosul Mashiach. But the basic story of Mosul Mashiach in terms of Machab Beis David, Melech HaMashiach, and Eitha Mikdash, Kim Zoliath, those psukim that are pretty explicit in Navi. We don't know exactly when everything's going to happen, how it's going to play out. Is Eliyahu going to come first? Is it going to come somewhere? And then, is it going to be machlekes of Rishon, that the base speech is going to come down to Shemai, it's going to be built by human hands? They're all machlekes. There's different traditions about the details. And the Rambam writes that the details aren't so important, that's why we don't spend much time on it. But the basic surah of Yilat Mashiach, we have some ideas. The surah of Olam Haba, the surah of Chesamesim, that world, that's gotten right out of our sense of understanding. That's what the Gemara says. I am the Rosh Hashanah of the Mashiach. Machlekes, the Rambam, and Ravid, Rambam, Ramban, Rambam, that's Rishonim, about which Olam exactly is that even referring to Ayin L'Rot, which is the Rambam assumes that's talking about the Olam HaNeshamah, talking about the world of Olam Haba, the Rambam's version of pure Olam HaNeshamah, and others, Ravid and Ramban, understood that that's referring to the Olam of Chiyas HaMesim, somehow it's an Olam of Ruch, but a different kind of a Ruch, a different type of Olam, different kind of a world. So we have very, very little understanding of that, of the details of that existence, right? But we told us that Moshe never told us, never gave us a click of Sarah, what exactly the details are. We have to believe in the Olam Haba, that it's amazing, whatever it plays out. But in terms of knowing the details of it, so we don't really have a clear understanding. Why is that? Because we can't possibly have a clear picture. Because at the end of the day, it's a ruchnius of existence, whether it's pure ruchnius like the Rambam, or whether it's a different type of time, but at the end of the day, it's such a fundamental ruchni type of existence that with our gashmius, chesed is very, very hard for us to even connect to. Not only is it hard for us to connect to, but it becomes almost very hard for a person to believe in, because we're so limited by our understanding of Olam Hazeh. We're so bound by time, so bound by the here and now, for us to think about something that's so l'malam and adnan, yom shekul shabbos, yom shekul toiv, yom shekul aruch. These things are just they bond in our mind. We live in a world of time. We're 12:20 today on a Thursday. So we can think maybe in terms of the day, a week, a month, a year. We can't think of things of infinity. We can't think of infinite amount of time. It's something that we just don't have the canon for. The other is the preservation of the Sacrament of Kiddush. The Olam Haba, the Nitzchias, eternity is really a big Nitzchias. So how do we get there? How do we connect to such a concept of so far? Look, the Rav who gave us the ability to do it, gave us the ability to connect to him. Because the Rav was ultimately not bound by time. The very essence of the Rav's name, Shem Hashem, Yitke Vavke, obviously we're not going to begin to try to delve into what any of that means. We don't have the Kalim, we don't even have to struggle what that means. But just the theme of Amisha, the Pshuto and Pshuto, the Shem Yitke Vavke, the combination of different aspects of time. It's a little bit of fire, a little bit of light, a little bit of year. It's a description of your Rosh Hashanah. That's the description of Elokus, the description of the Rabban Shalom, the fact that he's the Gamri Lamalam in that time. Rabban Shalom created time, he's above time, he's not bound by time. Therefore, the notion of eternity is something that only makes sense when you connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The further away a person is from Kadosh Baruch Hu, the further it is for him to have any concept of eternity. The closer a person gets to the Rabban Shalom, the closer they're able to connect to something which is nitzchak, which is eternity. So what vehicle do we have to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu? What vehicle do we have that gives us a taste of nitzchias even within our limited time frame that we live in this man hazeh, in this world? That's what Talmud Torah keeps it. That Talmud Torah, because it's the chachma of the Rabban Shalom, and Rambam writes in his tshuva that ultimately the chachma of the Rabban Shalom is the essence of the Rabban Shalom. I mean, that's the essence of the Rabban Shalom. Rabbi Yochanan made up of his chachma. When we create, when we relate to Torah, we connect to Torah. In effect, what we're connecting to is something which is limited. We're hanging on to something which goes lamal and that's not. Something which is so out of this world. Talmud Torah is something which is so far removed from this world. The Rosh Hashanah also made the concept of Torah be able to relate to this world. Rabbi took the concept of Chokhmah, Shemi Barach, and put it into a framework that we can talk to. Put it into a framework we can relate to. We can talk about a Shor HaMazik. We can talk about a person in Kaddish Isha. We can talk about the Rebbe Lachan Shabbos. These are the Chokhmah and Torah that were able to come down into this world. Torah that we have today, Hashem gave for the gift. But the essence of Torah, we beginning as soon as we start to learn, we come to the realization very, very quickly that the Chokhmah of Hashem Yisbarach is something which is not really in this world. Something really has its roots, something very, very different. That is roots to the Chokhmah of Pius, that is roots in a world that's not all bound to this world. If a person wants to have a ticket to enter into Adam Abdullah, a person wants to come to Chiyas and make them, so how do they even do that? What could be the entrance to be to get into Olam Haba? The answer is that the only way for you to relate to Olam Haba is for you to relate to things which are nitri. The more you understand nitri, the more that you become nitri, the more you have an opportunity to relate to nitri. If you were able to relate to Olam Haba, to hear the mashal, the Shiva, say about if you want to have a little bit of Olam Haba, what the next world Olam Haba is, he says, imagine the following. Imagine the person comes to a Shmuel Mishpon, not a real Shmuel Mishpon, a real McCoy, the Marina Shmuel, a real Shmuel Mishpon, and everything there, yeah, from the duck to the Chinese, to the sushi, to the, you name it, whether you like salads, whether you like carving stations, you got whatever you want, everything involved, everything. What's the problem? The problem is that the guy has a terrible stomach virus, and as soon as he sees food, Mamish runs away. Everybody else is sitting and enjoying and expressing being a Shalagasa, everyone's enjoying the Shmuel. There's this one guy who's there, he's looking at the Shmuel, he probably doesn't have to change his stomach, he's not. But damn, yes, you're not working properly in order to appreciate what's there. But Rashid is saying, that's Mashallah Mabah. We brought who sets up the table, it's all development. Now a person comes and about the taste. Does he have the candles to taste it or not? If a person perfected himself in this world, if he learned Torah and he connected to Rav Manishalov, and he has an appreciation, understanding of Nitzchias, that he comes to Olam Haba, now the Torah is here on a silver platter. Chazal described him as Sifta Derekia, the Chachmas, the Torah is there, Mamish in front, and he's jumping into it. He spent his whole life connecting to Nitzchias, and his whole life with Rav Pachdi, and Mekadosh Benuvah, and he's been learning nothing about Brahim and thinking that and something bubbles and it's his whole life. Now he comes and he sees it in the most beautiful, pristine form of the Olam HaNitzchi, Kula Chachmas Hashem Yitbarach. He can't wait to delve into it. He can't wait to enjoy the Shmach, this the Shmach, what he's been waiting for his whole life. There's the person who has no Shaykhah, the person who's being connected to it. He doesn't even know what eternal means. His idea of pleasure is the Shmuel's one. He thinks eating and drinking and having fun, that's his olam. Now he comes to a world where the Shmuel's one is made up of different days, a different menu, not the menu that he's used to. and his stomach is repulsed. He doesn't have the kelim to enjoy it. So it's mamash rachmanus. Terrible rachmanus. He's not able to taste it, to feel, to taste all the beautiful delicacies that are there in the Olam HaEmet. So the way to refine a person himself in order to be able to come to the point of the final end is that a person has to connect to Yitzchia and detect the connection to Yitzchia is truly Minasair. That's what the Gemara said. You can connect to Yitzchia in one of two ways. Either you can connect to Yitzchia to your own Minasair, or whatever reason your role in life is, to connect to somebody else's. That's why sometimes you have a person who's the Tremich Tayyar. Whatever goal in life, the goal in life is to be the ruler to the Yitzchak. Or her role in life is to be the one to help support her husband and encourage her husband to support her. Her role in life is to help raise the children to be the Yitzchak, to be loved with her. Whoever is involved in the pursuit of Yitzchak gets that chain, gets that suggestive ability to be able to ultimately come a Kamukha Masuda, to be able to appreciate the Yisoda Dover of Priyat HaNasim, Elam Anderson, Lamar, whatever, the Ramam version, the Bond version, those are the nuances. Elam will figure out. Maybe we'll come to Nachum Yom Shana to figure out the Ramam and the Ramban, how all the pieces of the puzzle fit together. So, don't worry about it, how it fits in. But that exists, the ultimate car for the mitzvah, that's predicated on the assumption that a person really appreciates the notion of this is. So you appreciate that you don't have to always look at the time, the here and now. That was Gufo, that was the Tikkun of Meshameinu slipped for a little bit of Mashu, 1 second under duress, under pressure, he said, we are lost in the Paro, therefore indicating that he had lost for 1 second the ability to look to the future. And he was stuck and trapped, he picked himself up, and he says, Oz Yoshim Moshe, now I understand that you have to negotiate the things if you look a little bit towards the future, and that's the Chazal thing, you can't grab the Chiyas of Nesim. That's a year, in the words of Adin Shem Moshe, is the greatest hint, the greatest move, the greatest remnant to the notion of this notion of Mizuna, being able to recognize that you have to plan, then you have to wait, and you have to work hard, the whole Shal Torah, and then eventually you can reap the payers of that Torah, both Olam HaZehula and Abba, that notion of Oz Yashin, that notion of sometimes things don't go as easily now, but we're ultimately all planting and waiting, and we're farmers who express our Amuna. That's the yisod not only of the Adya Shemoshe, that's the yisod of the Shabbat as well. The other makes the Sodeh, that just as it makes the Sodeh, you plant it and take time until the fruit grow, but when the fruit grows, it's well worth all the work. Don't do mistakes in our own life, take time until the fruit grows. Sometimes, when the sparring is in the Torah, so you don't always see the fruit right away. It's worth work and work and work, work in the sleep hard, you work hard, ready. You don't always understand it, you don't always get the geschmack that maybe you should have gotten. And we work on ourselves, we work on need this, work on the Hashem, work on the avenue, and we don't always see the table. But then as the years go on, you know, it was old, we start to look back and say, wow, it was a tremendous good payment. We have payments that we seem to meet now, it's only the dishes of the bringing the other, and this is the chitay, and Mishnah says, that Paris, you get a little bit of a fruit. You get an apple here, an apple there, an apple there. The tree wasn't chopped down yet. The tree is still around. We spoke about earlier this week. There were pigs in the rush. They're making their hoops. There's Paris. So you get a little bit of kidney Paris in this world. So we learn a sugi. We get a kishmak sugi. We get a little bit of a ochlin Paris. Evolving, enjoyment, kishmak. We feel this is something important we're doing. We get a following, the nefesh from the Torah that we learned. That's nothing. That's the half the apple. That's the good. That's not the tree. The tree is chemicals and above. The real endless is hard for Torah. Whatever the nature of the world can reveal, you have to love it. That's going to be the real payoff for all the Torah mitzvah that a person does. But apple be hey, the evolved the favorite. The Rosh made such an unbelievable thing in the devil that he made it eight strong and it lasts for so long, and it remains for so long. But during the year, a person gets to enjoy a little bit of the fruit, and the fruit is sweet. Fruit is gishmak. So the Torah that a person learns and that a person does, gishmak, payrus, element that, and it's a beautiful payrus. A person is supposed to enjoy the payrus. The Mar says that a Kabbalah holds a person responsible because they don't eat payrus from the Mazar. The Marshan says, I created this beautiful fruit. Why don't you enjoy it? The Rav Ashram says that to the person, you should eat the dates, and you can eat the apple, and you should shoot though, you have to eat. The wants us to enjoy the things that he created, the other ones, that the right amount, the right measure, the right bracha, the right mindset, has to become sometimes people think that the greatest level of Simon HaTorah of the Shema is the person who can't stand what they're learning. The guy can't stand the Torah, but he does it anyway. He says, man, that's not Torah of the Shema, that's the Rachmanis. The Torah of the Shema is that the Rosh wants you to enjoy it. It should be sweet there. The Rosh made the favorite sweet. The Rosh could have made sweet the taste terrible. They did. They didn't taste sweet. He wants us to enjoy it. He also wants us to enjoy the Torah that we have in this world. Don't think the Torah we have are just, that's all there is right in this world. Karen Ke'elis, Mel, Leila Mabba, it's the Nitzchiyat, it's Oz Yishimoshe. The Moshe should give us a special chizuk and enter into this Shabbat. The Shabbat is a very, very special Shabbat. The Shabbat of Shira, the Shabbat of Tumishvah, all the different Yisodas, all in one. But the Dabra, Sada Shabbat, whatever you say, is that the notion of Nitzchiyat. Also, the Moshe should give us that Yad Yishmaya, and connect to Nitzchiyat, connect to Torah, that Nitzchiyat should take us in Klai Yisrael, the time, all the Nitzchiyat of us and his time. Okay. Keep on staggering away. There's no college today, right?
No college. No college.
Great. So what's this? So Mamish, Yom Tarasa Yeager Yom Balayla. Hayek Eich Shosul Apal Gimayim. Mamish, Tarasa Yeager, what? Guys didn't learn stagg. But, very good. No snowball fight, no sled ride, just didn't learn stagg away. We'll see you on Sunday. Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Oh, sorry. Oh. Sorry for getting the noise of the chair. Shkayach, everyone.